Good Saturday morning. I've got buttons going everywhere in every different direction. This is a continuation from the poor performance yesterday morning on Sports Talk. I mean, on Friday, the Friday mix. So just continuing, screwing everything up. Just like that. Welcome to Sports Talk right here on this Saturday morning on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell, and with you as always on Saturday morning. A lot to talk about, a lot of basketball action to talk about. The Tigers and Lady Tigers were in action Tuesday night over in Scotts Hill, and last night at Brooks High School in Killen, Alabama. We'll talk to Coach Kirk and Coach Geyer about those games coming up here in just a few minutes. College football wrapped up. The national championship game is a dud. Ryan kind of called it that way, but he left himself open. He said it's either going to be really close or it's going to be a blowout. So he got one of them right. I mean, when you say stuff like that, then you're going to get one of them right, and he did. National football wild card weekend this weekend. For all those that are national football, NFL football fans, the new baseball and softball schedules are out for the Tigers and Lady Tigers. We'll look at those here in just a bit. Bowling is rolling right along to the state. I think they won the region this past week and headed to the state. So that's not unusual. It's a dynasty. They've got reservations up there every year. Also, the high school football banquet was this week, so a wrap-up of Hardin County football, and now they'll turn their attention to the 2023 season. Carter Smith got some big news this week. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, the quarterback for Hardin County. And Latrell Bumpus of Tennessee, he came out with a statement about his time at Tennessee and what's ahead for him, and he said he's preparing for the NFL. So talk a little bit about that. Ryan was a teammate of his, so I know he's proud of Latrell and what's up for him coming up. And then next week we'll be on the road again. Seems like that's all we've done is be on the road for 2023, but we'll be at Tishomingo and at Lawrence County, Alabama, the home of none other than Rory Carpenter. I wonder who scheduled that game, but we'll be there. Talked to Rory last night after the win for the two teams. And Rory wanted to congratulate y'all, and that's a big win, beating that team over there. I mean, that's one of the powerhouses over in that area in small high school basketball. So a lot to get to on this Saturday morning. Don't go anywhere. Keep it tuned right here. We'll talk to Coach Kirk and Coach Geyer. We'll talk a little Tiger basketball when we come back. This is 93.5 FM and Sports Talk. We'll be back right now. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We appreciate you tuning in on this Saturday morning. Got some blue skies out there, some sunshine. Temperatures gonna be a little chilly though. Maybe get up in the 40s, but looks like it's gonna hang around in the 30s for a while, but not too bad. As long as the wind is not blowing, it's not too bad. Man, we've had a little bit of everything when it comes to weather. Had Polar Express come through here. We get rain one day and 30 and 65 the next day. When I got up yesterday morning and was heading in to do the radio show, it was coming a blizzard at my house. I mean, an absolute blizzard. Then when I got into town, nothing was going on. Then I had one of my callers call in, and they said they were coming across the levee from Crump and said, it was snowing so hard, it was hard to see. So we get a little bit of everything around here, it seems like, these days. Let's bring in Coach Kirk, and let's talk some basketball, some Lady Tiger basketball, as they were in Scotts Hill on Tuesday night, and then last night in Killen, Alabama, against Brooks High School. Coach, appreciate you coming in, number one, and a good week of basketball, even though you were 1-1, but going back to Scotts Hill and playing over there, I'm not so sure that was one of the best games that you played as a team all year long.
Yeah, I think that was. If it if it wasn't the best game, I think it was. I think it would be the second best game of the year. I still think Tisch County, we played above our, above what we were expected to. But the Scotts Hill, I knew that's like I told you last week that I was looking forward to going back over there because I think that the girls were embarrassed about what happened at home, getting beat like 25 by them or something like that. Yeah. And they came out, and we knew the way they played defense that you'd have a shot to execute offense, and that if we made a couple shots, we'd hang around, and that was the difference. I mean, we still didn't shoot well. We actually shot pretty dang bad from the three-point line. We were like 9 for 39 from three, I think, 9 for 38, something like that.
Yeah.
But in the lane, we were 8 for 10, so we were finishing around the rim, and that's the difference. We executed well and we guarded well.
Well, it just seemed like, you know, when you throw that stat out there, the one thing I was going to say, I thought we shot the ball pretty well, but then when you throw the stat out there, it must have been, you know, sometimes that, those nine are at key spots in the game, and it makes it look like, man, well, you know, we're kind of playing, you know, pretty well. But we hung in there with them, and really, I think we surprised them a little bit, and they got down, and we were hanging around. And, you know, when you get a team that will hang around, especially when you're playing a really, really good basketball team, basketball program at their home place, then some good things happen when you get into the second half of the game.
We did. I was surprised as you. I thought we shot it until I looked at the stats. I was like, I told Coach Geyer, I said, we shot it pretty well. And he just kind of looked at me. And then we shot it a lot is what it was. And
yeah.
And the shots that we did make did come at big times to allow us to hang around. And we had a shot to win the game going down to the very end. I think it was a one-point game. We missed something. We had to foul, go down three. We draw up a sideline play for what I feel is like the fourth game in the row to have a chance to win it. And we ended up, if it would have been executed correctly, it would have been an open shot for three and a potential tie. And it was not executed correctly, which whether we make it or not, we'll never know. But we hung around, and it let our girls believe that, hey, here we go, peeking at the right time. That's what I was trying to get out of that. It's like now you're playing – that's the same team that beat you 25 at home, and now you took them to the wire, and you could have beat them. So,
well, when you have games like that, and we were talking about this during the broadcast and at the end of the game and post game, that has to be a confidence booster, number one, for your kids to go over there and play with a really good team and have a chance to win. And I mean, all you can ask for really at the end of the the night is just have a chance, you know, at the end. But having these chances now, you know, a couple of times during the season, and then when you play somebody that they're probably going to go pretty far in a tournament, especially on their side. So you have that, you're on the road. But, you know, what does it do for your kids as far as, okay, this is what it takes to finish a game?
That's what it is. It's that we go back and watch the film the next day. And I tell them, I was like, there's not – normally when you don't play good, it's easy to harp on something like, oh, we just got killed rebounding. We didn't shoot it well, so on and so forth. And I told them, I said, we go back and watch this. There's not one thing that we didn't do well. We played well. It's just it's little things in big moments of the game that make the difference against a good team. Like you can do little things the wrong way against an average team and still get by and win, but you've got to do them well all the time against a good team. And there were just a couple moments of that game where we didn't, whether it be us getting lost and forgetting to help and they shoot a layup, or us failing to match to the ball in transition. It's just little things is what win. If I could put one thing in the locker room, it's little. I've said it a million times, little things win the big games. All the little things win the big games. But as far as confidence goes, it lets them know that when they show up and play, they're capable of playing with anyone, and that's it. It was a big count. Do you want to win it? Absolutely, but I'm not a moral victory guy. But it felt like it didn't feel like a loss. Really, it was a confident boost for them.
Yeah, it looked like they had grown up a lot since the beginning of the season, because you know, the reality is this is a young team. You got one player in Haley Harden that started last year. Your go-to person gets hurt early, comes back, gets hurt again, and out for the season. So a lot of experience that you lost there. So the rest of your team, they're trying to find their way too. And you can see the growth of these girls as we've moved through the season. That's what's fun about watching this and watching sports a lot of times, to see where we start and then, you know, where we end up and how much did we grow from game to game. I don't know if you're going to win a state championship this year. You might go all the way through it and hit something, but it's that growth and then watching the girls just gain some confidence, and especially when you come off the bench with some of you, even your freshman and sophomore, you can see that, you know, things are moving a little bit slower for them too. You know, everything's not so fast anymore.
It is. That's what we get asked. How do you judge the success of a program? And it's not wins and losses necessarily. To me, the success of a program is how good is your average player from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. Did your middle of the pack player get better? Because your really good girls, Reese is going to be good regardless. It doesn't matter if I'm coaching or you're coaching or Coach Guy's coaching. It does not matter, but it's how good is your middle of the pack girl? How good is your sixth or seventh girl? From the beginning to the end of the season, and then that's what you're seeing is as a group, we're not necessarily young, but experience wise, like you said, we're very young, and we're learning how to slow the game down in our head. Or do they mess up sometimes? Of course, they're teenage girls. They're gonna mess up, but. All in all, they're learning the game slowing down in their head. We're learning how to handle the ball under pressure a little bit better, because that's what I was telling Haley Harden yesterday. I was like, you're not a 4-year point guard. You're gonna mess up. You're a 2-month point guard. You've got 2 months of experience being point guard, and so we don't expect decision making to be 100%. That's not it. You've been doing this for 2 months, and she's carried a tremendous load, and I think she's done an excellent job. And then we've had others that haven't been experienced that have stepped up, whether it be the starters, it be your sixth, seventh, eighth girls. I thought Riley Strickland's stepped up and played very well lately, but that's just – I could go down the list and name them all. They're all – from the start of the season to right now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that how much they've improved as a team.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking while you were talking about that, going back to that game, you said we're 9 for 39, but we had so many good looks in that game. So you're executing your offense, you're getting what you want done. If we could have hit half of those, you know, you end up winning 5-10 points because we had so many good looks at the basket.
Yeah, we aim to shoot 30-33% from three. We shot 24. If you shoot 20, if you make two more, you obviously win the game. And it's little things. We get in spots to be successful, and then it comes down to putting the ball in the hole. That's what it is. We finished in the lane well. We didn't miss many gimmies. We had a couple rattle around the rim, go in and out. And like you said, I thought we executed offense very well. And that's what I tell them. Just before every game, I don't care if it's win, lose, or draw. I want to see effort, and I want to see how you execute, and I want to see good body language. I want you to be a good teammate, because at the end of the – when it's all said and done in 5-10 years, when they're our age, they're going to look back and they're going to remember the big games they won. They're going to remember both Adamsville games and whatever else is left to come, and they're going to remember their teammates and whether they – liked their teammates or didn't like their teammates. They're going to remember how people treated them and how they treated others. That's what you remember.
Well, when you get my age, you just hope you remembered you even played. So there you go. So that's the difference in the age groups here. But a big game over there and a great job and had a chance to win it in the end. So, you know, what you want to do is when you play again, you want to carry that over. And we went into Brooks, Alabama, or Brooks High School in Killeen, Alabama last night. Let's take a timeout. We'll talk about that game. You're talking about an unusual basketball game. That was one for the record last night. We'll talk about that and then get you set up for next week as well. It's Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Corneo, and with you talking with Coach Kirk and Coach Gower, and talking a little Tiger basketball. It's a big week this week. We went to Killeen, Alabama last night, Brooks High School, and the whole time, I'm telling you my mentality, I thought we were going to Red Bay, so there's that. I knew we were going, seemed like we were going in a different direction, but for some reason, I told Bill, I said, we'll be set up there. They've got people there that do games. And then when we started going down Cox Creek Boulevard there, I said, we went to Red Bay last year, you know. And so first trip over there, I think, if I'm correct, the time that we were supposed to go over there and play, it was either a COVID or we got snowed out or some kind of – we had a game canceled over there for our first trip. But anyway, Coach, unusual game last night, a pretty fast start against a team that scored 16 points when they were here, a complete blowout. First of all, what do you tell your team when you go into a game and you're talking about 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids and trying to convince them that they got to forget about that team only scored 16 points on you and that you are going to have to go in there and play?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because they're not dumb. They're, at the end of the day, they understand. They remember, hey, this team, we beat them by 40 or whatever it was. And I kept harping on them the whole week. It's like we're working. It's about us. Is we're working on us. We're working about our effort, our execution. I don't care what they do. I don't care what the scoreboard says. It's the same thing as any other game. It's effort and execution and body language, and that's what you harp on to get them to try to wake up for a game that's honestly extremely hard to wake up for. And then you get there, and it's not the same. The roster for Brooks is completely different. They've got several different starters that wasn't even on the team last time we played, and now all of a sudden, it's not a team that's going to score 16 points on you. And it took us about 24 minutes to realize, hey, this is not the same Brooks team we played before. And then we flipped a switch. And
yeah, you started off, you had a good start, and it kind of looked like, well, you know, we're going to blow them out. I think it got to 8-0. And then all of a sudden, with about 4 minutes left in the first quarter,
like 8-7 or something.
Yeah, it just all changed. And from that point on, the first half, we kind of lost our momentum. We kind of lost a little bit of, I don't know how to say it. We got really sluggish and kind of slugged our way through the rest of that half. And I think we were a little shocked at, okay, well, wait a minute. We're down now, and the fans are into it. And also, they got an eighth grader that we haven't seen before that can actually play like an upperclassman, and I think they fed on her all night long because when they introduced her in the starting lineup, eighth grader or whatever, Santiago, and the crowd went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, that's what it was. We got up 8-0. They looked up and they're like, "All right, here we go again. We're not gonna have to play hard." And that's what I harp on all the time. It's like you got to do the little things the right way, and you got to do them all the time, not just when you think you got to do them. It's easy to wake up against Scotts Hill and Adamsville and do the little things the right way for the majority of the time. It's hard to do that in a game where you're, regardless of what I tell them, where they're expecting to go out there and just dominate. And we were sluggish, and then it went from being sluggish to being shell-shocked, where we looked up and was like, what is going on? We put subs in, and the subs, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, about played blindfolded for about 2 minutes, just throwing the ball everywhere, panicking. And we lost composure and then went into halftime down 5, I think, and then had to calm everyone down, and hopefully we were hoping to regain composure, and luckily that's – but what we did is we let a team believe. That's what – they're going to school on Tuesday saying we played with Hardin County for a half. Now they believe – which is good for their program because now they believe in themselves, but, like – They were thinking at halftime, they're like, now we can win. And then their crowd got into it. And then I told Coach, here we go. We're in for a dogfight. The crowd's gonna be into it. They're gonna play with more energy and effort, and they're probably gonna knock down some shots they wouldn't normally knock down. And that's what happened. And we went down 9 going into, I think, a minute or two into the third, we were down 9, and then that's when they looked up and said, okay, let's play Hardin County basketball. Let's play like we're capable of playing.
Yeah, and it looked like, too, you know, you played you was talking about Riley Strickland earlier. You played her a lot last night, and it looked like to me that you put her on Santiago, the eighth grader, mm-hmm. and she kind of locked her down a little bit in the second half. But, you know, we keep talking eighth grader, but – she didn't play that way. She was very physical, and I was talking to Coach Carpenter last night on the way home, and I was talking to her about that girl, and I said, you know, the thing about her being an eighth grader, she wasn't scared out there mm-hmm. to be with not the older girls, and she is very aggressive to the basket. She could handle the basketball really well, and he was telling me about another girl that around that area that was a seventh grader that could play, but now she's got a genetic – pool that she's feeding off of, because I think one of her parents played at Alabama, or mother or something
that
like that. So that helps a lot. So, but anyway, to see young girls like that, Bill kind of compared her to a freshman Skylar Gill, and you know, and her body and stuff was not like what you would see. But you know, to be able to come back, and I think Clara Callahan probably had the best game that she's had all around.
I think so, too.
And man, she did some work inside. And she was a really if you had a player of the game, that would be my player of the game.
I 100% agree.
Because she controlled the inside. She got a lot of trash rebounds, had a lot of stick backs, made some free throws. Now, going back to that game that killed us, too, is at the free throw line. We missed a bunch last night, and you can't do that moving forward
district. We shot a lot, and that's what I told them, especially once it got to the second half, and I think they picked up 6 fouls very fast in the third quarter. And I was like, don't settle for threes. We're not shooting 30-something threes like we did against Scotts Hill, not against Brooks. We're going in until they prove that they'll take charges, and we're going to go to the free throw line. Well, we went to the free throw line, I think, 37 times, something like that, mid-30s, and only made 18 of them. So, I mean, you're leaving a ton of points there. You got to shoot 70% from the free throw line. So you can do that math and see what that would have been. But you got to shoot better from the free throw line. Did a good job of getting there, but the free throws are free for a reason. You got to make your free throws.
You know, and Davis, too, she plays well, and we – got to be able to keep her in the game longer.
She's got to play without fouling.
Yeah, got to play without fouling, because she's really athletically, she can play with anybody that mm-hmm. we play against.
Yes, yeah, so she's got to learn to move her feet. I mean, and she knows. She'll tell me. I'll ask her. I was like, what'd you do? She's like, I got beat, and then I hacked at a girl instead of either letting her go and trusting our teammates to slide over and help. Or just move your feet, because she's quick enough to stay in front of anyone if she'll stay down in a stance. But if you're going to play standing straight up, I could go around you if you're going to play me standing straight up. But you got to learn, and hopefully that clicks, because she's got to stay in the game. She's not helping us when she's sitting over there with me and Coach. And hopefully that clicks. And you mentioned Clara playing really well, and I think she did play extremely well. I think she did her job. She got trash buckets. I think we did a good job of finding her in the post as we drove. And honestly, I'd like to see her be a little bit more aggressive down in the post when she gets it and it's one-on-one. I think she's still I still don't think she trusts herself as much as she should, as much as we trust her. She's one-on-one, go score the basketball. But she has played her best game of the year.
It came out a little bit last night, especially in that second half. She had a couple of moves to the basket where she just beat her defender, I mean, just straight up. But, you know, she was aggressive last night, and she's kind of an intense player. I mean, you can kind of see it on her face.
She is.
And, you know, she was talking to the official last night during one trip down the floor because she felt like that she got hacked pretty good and no call. And I could see him talking to her, and she's just like shaking her head. But, you know, that's kind of the passion that you like to see of this young team. But as well as you played on Tuesday night, it was a struggle on Friday night. But how proud were you of your team to come back and then get a win 56-48?
Yeah, it's again, I harped on almost like very few teams are good enough just to flip a switch when they think it's time to flip a switch. And with that being said, we waited until we were down 9 in the third, and then we flipped a switch. We picked up defensive intensity. We stopped letting people get to the basket. We switched dribble handoffs, and we switched screens hard instead of just kind of going through the motions. We rebounded better, and we got aggressive on offense, and we started executing stuff. And I was like, that's what it comes down to. If you execute well, you're gonna be able to beat anyone we play. We're talented enough to, if we execute well and handle pressure well, we'll hang around with anyone we play the rest of the year. And like you said, the girls had a chance. They had a chance to lay down and just lay an absolute egg when they went down 9, and their crowd was into it, and we didn't let that happen. And I told them, I was like, well, what happens if we don't go, if we miss those layups in the lane, or if a couple well-timed threes, if they don't go, well, then all of a sudden you look up, and even though you flip that switch, it's too late. You can't dig yourself a hole. And they know that. And I didn't harp on it too much. I went in the locker room and I told them, I was like, y'all know exactly how you played. You know when you decided to show up and play. We're not gonna harp on it. You know you can't do that going forward. You'll go 0-6 the rest of the, or really 0-8. You'll go 0-6 in district. You'll lose all 6 district games.
Yep.
But proud of them for battling back. I'll take an ugly win. I'll take an ugly win, and hopefully we still haven't put 32 minutes together. We've been close. Scotts Hill, we put probably 28, 29 minutes together, but we still haven't played a 32-minute game, and I'm hoping that starts to show up as we turn the corner to district.
Well, their coach helped us out too. He loved him a timeout. He called timeouts at the weirdest times of that game, but what happened was, I was telling Sharp as we were working our way through the final minutes, I said, they don't have any timeouts. They can make all threes they want right now.
And
but the clock,
ball,
yeah, the clock's in our favor.
Yeah,
and
that was it.
So, you know, all these weird timing of his timeouts come back to bite him there late. But,
and honestly, that in his defense, that probably comes from he ain't been in that situation all year of a close game coming down the stretch, I don't believe.
Probably not. Well, we turn our attention next week. We go to Tishomingo, another really good basketball program on the ladies' side. We'll go there, and then we'll head to the home of Roy Carpenter, Moulton, Alabama, on Friday. So
go to Alcorn Central, not Tishomingo.
Is it? Oh, okay. Well, that's better then. It's all in the same area. Alcorn, yeah. So we'll head over there on Tuesday night. Tip-off time is at 6 p.m., and then Lawrence County, Alabama, on Friday night. And talking with Coach Karp last night, he said it's probably going to be, you know, both games are going to be pretty evenly matched. They're a lot like we are. And he said it'll be fun to play. So we'll see. And
question is, pull for
it. Yeah, well.
His wife's coaching on
the his wife side. Coaches
yeah.
She's over
a,
there?
She's an assistant, so. He may have a shirt that's half Lawrence County, half Hardin County. We'll see. I may get him one.
I know who
he'd wear it.
Yeah, we may have to call him out.
We'll see where his
allegiance
see where
is.
The loyalties lie.
Listen, we'll see Friday night.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, we'll see. We're coming to town, Rory. I know you're listening. We're coming to town Friday night. Anyway, congratulations, Coach, on the win last night. Thanks. Appreciate you coming in.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, we'll turn our attention to Tiger basketball when we return. Coach Guyer will step in. We'll talk about his games with Scott Seal and the big win last night over Brooks. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Right. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Ryan, I knew we'd get a rise out of a certain special person in our life, and then he texts me cursing at us.
Yeah, I'm just glad he's listening this week.
I knew you'd be listening.
Listen, last week he didn't even know. He calls me at 11:30, misses our whole conversation. We was bragging on him, and so I can't brag on him anymore now. We're just going to have to make sure he's listening. I always hear from him when we say something bad. But
there's a little strife in the friendship now.
That's all right.
Maybe we can settle this on Friday night.
Yeah. I just hope he's there. He said he's going to come last night and watch us. He didn't come. Didn't come last week. Not far from his house.
No, he'll be there. He'll be there. He's already told me. He told me to come down that Yeah, he told me to come down. He's going to feed me a steak. That's what he told me. He said, you and Shark, come on down early. I'll take you to a great steakhouse and feed you and kind of get you ready for the game. I don't know what he meant by that, but he told us to come early.
He'll give you a tour of Moulton, Alabama is what he's going to do.
Yep. Yeah, we're heading that way. And he's texting me now, and he's, you know, he's upset, and I'm not sure what he's going to do. I don't know what Lawrence County's – what are they?
Their mascot?
Yeah.
The Red Devils.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure it's the Red Devils.
he just texts fiddlesticks. I didn't read all of it. That's one of his words right there, fiddlesticks. Michelle, we wish you the best, but I don't know about your husband. I know that. But anyway, you know, we were talking about that. You know, his brother coach, he coaches, his wife's coach. That's a coaching tree.
Son's coaching.
Is he
too.
Coaching now? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they are. Rory's a big thing down there in small town Alabama. He's a hero in his own mind. But we like to have fun with him. I got to talk with him last night on the way back home, and it was good to talk to him. I love talking to him about stuff, and I got him and Sharp. Kind of, you know, I told him that Sharp said during the broadcast that if this was last year, he didn't think we'd pull that one out.
I'm not going to comment.
No, no, you can't, but I can say stuff I can say stuff like that. But anyway, well, the dean has walked in. The dean of students has walked in. This is a big day now. My Saturday's complete. He's texting Rory too. Yeah. Let's see, Steve. Yeah. Well, we can't say that on the air. Ryan, you go over to Scott's Hill and had one of those games where played well, but they had a young man that scored 38 or 40.
He scored 30 of their 60.
30 of their 60. I don't remember him over here. It seems like they had a kid that played really well inside for them when they were here.
It was the same guy.
Was it the same guy that did
same
this?
Same guy, just different style.
Well, he looked taller or something. Yeah, but, man, what a game he played. And not to take anything from our kids or whatever, but when you see a kid that he knows how to play the game, you could tell mentally you know, he could play and he could shoot 10 from 10 from the free throw line. So he had a big night. And really, he was a difference in the game.
He was. You know, when we played him at home, that first game, it was the first game we kind of made some lineup changes. And then Tanner Davis was out, who's been our second leading scorer. He didn't play at home. And, you know, that was a heck of a game we played at home. We were up 4, I believe, going into the fourth. And then they made some – tough shots. We didn't, and they ended up beating us there in a close game. But I was looking forward to coming and playing them at their place with Tanner healthy and kind of getting the lineup changes we made after we'd gotten in a rhythm a little bit. And, you know, we came out early, started off well. We're up at the end of the first. Got some guys in some foul trouble in the second quarter. I think they were up six at half. And then, like you said, Ledbetter for Scotts Hill, one of the best players in West Tennessee. And we knew that going in. He's a difficult matchup. He can shoot it. He can put it on the floor. He can post up. Great IQ, can pass it. He's one of the best players, if not the best player we've played against all year. And he had 24 against us here, and he had 30 the other night. And we made him work for a lot of it. He's a great basketball player. And they're a senior-led group. They've got five. Coach McLean plays about seven guys, and five of them are seniors. And that group, most of them have started for 2 years, and some of them have started for 3 years. And so, you know, last year they were really good, and he knew he had a lot coming back. And so I knew – talking with him that he was excited about this group, and you see why. I think they're 11-5 on the year, and they've lost two games by one or two points, so, you know, coin flip games that they've lost, but they can play. They understand what they want to do offensively, defensively. They've got two guards that can shoot it. They got a kid in Clinty, number 13, that's just a glue guy. He does whatever. He can make a big shot. Really good defensive player, can handle the ball. Obviously, Ledbetter, like I said, he's one of the best players in West Tennessee, bar none. And they're just a good basketball team. And we, like you said, we battled with them. We played pretty well. We just didn't shoot it well that night. We missed some open looks in the second half that I know we can make. And like I told them, I said, it wasn't anything that we didn't do execution-wise. I said, we got beat by a great player, and we missed some shots that I know we can make. And that's really what it boiled down to. We cut it to, I think it was a 6-7 point game there in the fourth. We had a chance with our best shooter in the corner wide open. He missed it. They go down. Ledbetter gets an and one and transition. I still don't know how he made the shot he did. And anyway, that kind of took the energy out of us right there late. But, you know, we played pretty well, got beat by a good team and a good player, played hard. Just it's hard to win on the road against good teams, especially when you have a guy in high school that you can just give the ball to and say, go make a play. And everybody on your team knows it too. It's just hard to match up with. And like we talked about, he's physical. He's not very tall, but he's about 6'1", and he's left-handed, which is another advantage because you don't usually play against lefties. And you can't say enough about him. He's an extremely good player, and he made plays for them, and they ended up clipping us on Monday night.
Well, he doesn't quit. That's what we were talking about during the broadcast. I mean – he's wide open all the time, and you got to know where he is. He comes in behind you and gets a trash rebound, sticks it back, you know, stuff like that all night long. And, of course, he shot the ball well, ran their offense well. And, you know, he wants to go get the basketball. And when it comes across that court, if he doesn't have it, he goes and gets it and runs the show. I was talking to Justin Burdine after the game the other night, and we were talking about that kid. I said, did he come in from Lexington? Is that one of these that maybe played at Lexington or lives in Lexington and came down here? And he said, no, actually, he moved in from Cincinnati or somewhere like that. I don't know how long he's been there, but he actually moved in. So, you know, good break. They could have come on down a little bit further to a bigger school. But anyway, they got a really good basketball team. But we were competitive. And that's all you can do, and then have a chance, you know, there late, and maybe hopefully draw something up. But last night, this team came over here and beat us on our floor. And then I thought one of the differences in – well, first of all, we get off to a terrible start. I mean, I think it was 14-0 in Brooks. And then we finally hit a basket – with about 1:08 left. I mean, we just could not throw it in the ocean.
No. you know, going back to what you were saying, we played Brooks here early in the year, I think the second week of the season, and we've played 17 games, and that's the only game that I've walked away from just knowing we played horrendous basketball, just being honest with you. And they knew it. We knew it. We talked about it. We watched film on it Thursday. We played, as a whole, we just did not play very well at all. And we've had some games where we've played, you know, not the best, but I have not walked away from a game other than that one just feeling like we didn't show up tonight. And, you know, it was still early football, getting back in the rhythm like we talked about, figuring some lineup stuff out, and they just came over here and thumped us. And so we watched some film on them Thursday, and I told them, I said, it's hard for me to even watch this, just, you know, mistake after mistake. And anyway, we came back, and I tried to get it to fuel the fire for them, because we've got some guys that they'll take some stuff and show it on the floor and take little stuff and put it into the game, and it fires them up. We've got some guys like that. So, you know, like you said, we come out, it's 14-0. First play of the game, like I said, I draw up a play, first play of the game, knowing if we get the tip, it's there wide open, our best shooter, he misses it. We come down, I think Caleb has two shots right there in front of the rim, he misses both, and it's like they come down, they make some shots, we don't. Like you said, we just couldn't throw it in the ocean in the first 7 minutes of the game. And I think Jackson got an and one there at the end of the first, and then JT hit one at the buzzer. We were down 10 at the end of the first, and after the first quarter, I said, it's nothing. It's not an execution thing. I said, we got to put the ball in the hole. I said, we're running offense. Defensively, it's not been bad outside, you know, of one or two possessions. And so we came back in the second quarter, made some plays, made some timely shots, and had cut it to, I believe it was 6. And then we foul a three-point shooter at the end of the quarter, which from my angle, I couldn't really tell how bad it was or wasn't bad or whatever. I just knew the kid fell down, so I went back and watched, and we did foul him. And so he makes all three, and we go into half down 9. And like we talked about, defensively, I thought we were playing pretty well for the most part. Our press was really good. We gave them problems in the press. Our spacing was good and execution was good, but putting the ball in the basket, which is what you got to do, like I told them at half, was about a D-. So we're missing too many around the rim. We're missing open looks. And you can't miss bunnies and open shots against good teams on the road and win. And Brooks has won 20-plus games 8 years in a row. They are feared in that area in 3A basketball. And what they do well is they expose weaknesses. They take away what you're good at, and they expose what you're really not – what you're bad at, just per se. And they're a great defensive basketball team. They just going to play 8 or 9 guys. They pressure the ball well. They execute. They do all the little stuff well. And when you can do that, you can hang around and beat anybody. And anyway, so first half, you know, we didn't play our best, but I knew we'd have a shot coming into the second half.
Well, yeah, and we were talking about that last night, and I said, well, the key to this is we got to come out and hit a couple of threes here real quick and get back in this game and get some of that momentum back, and we did. Wheeler came out, and I think he hit his first couple of shots for threes, got us back in the game, and then, you know, our defensive pressure too, they forced them to make a lot of mistakes. You know, they're pretty solid fundamentally.
Right.
But they made a lot of mistakes last night, and especially there at the end of the game in overtime, that really is the one that got them beat.
Right, yeah. Like you said, we come out first play after halftime. Wheeler hits a three. I think we get a steal on the very next possession on the inbound. I don't think we score. They go down. Wheeler comes down, hits another three. All of a sudden, it's a one-possession game. And it was like in that third quarter, every time we made a shot, they made a shot. Number 12, he's a really good player for them. He makes timely shots, and he made some. He hit a trail three late in the third. I remember vividly out of the press. It was a 5-point game at the time. It was 31-26. He hits a trail three. So they were up 8 going into the fourth quarter. And same thing, I'm like, we're right here. If we could get two of these shots to fall in the lane, we just couldn't, or we couldn't score in the paint after we've had a really good stretch of games where we've dominated some teams in the paint, just as far as offensive rebounds and points in the paint and field goal percentage in the paint. But yeah, in that fourth quarter, defensive pressure stepped up. I thought we really guarded well in the second half. And it's a lot easier. I always say this, a lot easier to guard when you make a shot. And so we made a few shots there, got in a rhythm, stayed in the press, created some havoc, and ended up getting the lead there with about 2 minutes to go. Then we're basically playing keep away at that point. We do a good job of it. I thought there was one time we got fouled. They let it play on. Ended up getting the possession arrow, which worked out better anyway. But I think Jackson went to the line. It was a 1-1. We're up. He missed the front end of it. We're up 3. They come down. They had called a timeout, and we talked about this. We were in the same situation against Corinth. We're up 3. We had a foul to give. And in high school basketball, it's easy to always say foul up 3 when you're a college basketball team. But high school basketball, if kids can make contested threes from deep, I'll take my chances a lot of the time than fouling and sending with the free throw line. Then you got to box out. Just, it's really about time in that situation. I thought there was too much time to foul up 3 at that point because I think there were 17 seconds left on the clock. So they run a play. We defend it well. We didn't communicate a switch. It was a heck of a play by Coach Wright. And I was screaming foul when he caught the ball away from the rim, but we didn't switch hard enough to get it. So kid buries a 3 there.
Yeah, he had a great look. I was right behind him. And when it left, you knew, I said, right, we're going to overtime.
It was a heck of a play draw up by Coach Wright. I honestly will steal that from him. We defended it well for about 11 seconds. And then, just like I said, miscommunication there. They hit the 3. So we call timeout, draw up a play. Guy takes a charge, heads up play. Like we talk about, they do the little things right all the time. And so he takes a charge. They get the ball on the side, tie game. And I'm sitting here thinking Central Alabama again. It was literally identical. Same spot, same scenario. Tanner tips it on the inbound, so we go to overtime. And go into overtime. They score 2 quick ones early. They're up 4. We end up getting a bucket. Caleb McGee on an offensive rebound. We score. We get a steal in the press, get a layup attempt, don't convert. Anyway, they get the rebound, go down. We foul. It's a 1-1. Guy misses it. They get an offensive rebound on the missed free throw. So we're still up. We're still down 2 at this point. Guy goes to the line, makes the first of the 1-1, misses the second. We come down, try to run a quick hitter. They defended it well. So I call timeout. We drop an out-of-bounds play. I think, what was their coach, about 15 seconds left or so. We're down 3. We execute the out-of-bounds play well. They defend. That's what they do, is defend. So we get it into Jackson. He misses contested 3, but you can't ever question our effort. And if you watch us play, you will never walk away thinking we didn't play as hard as we could play. And Caleb McGee comes out of nowhere, gets an offensive rebound, kicks it out to JT. JT gets his feet set, quick release, buries it to tie the game. So they call timeout. I think there's 5 seconds left. It's tied up. We had talked about how we wanted to defend the inbounds, and I had a feeling they may throw the out of bounds to a teammate. And anyway, they do it. We defend it well. I had Tanner at half court basically just playing like a free safety. I said, they lob it, go get it. And when they lob the ball, I'm like, I knew Tanner was going to get it somehow. And he does. takes it down, gets an and one with about 2.5 seconds and to take the lead. And just the emotion from our bench, that's what I was showing Coach when we walked in here. That's why you play.
Yep.
And anyway, then I start thinking this is the same scenario as Corinth. So we're up two. I call timeout just to talk about make or miss, what we'll do. I said, Tanner, you make this, we can't lose. All right. So I told him, hey, make this. We'll get in what we do. He knocks it down. Anyway, they miss a shot at the buzzer, and we come away with a heck of a win, heck of a comeback win against a program that was in the Final Four last year. And if you know anything about Alabama basketball, Brooks is always mentioned. They are perennially always in the mix, and heck of a road win. We battled back, and just shows you how much we've improved as far as the season's gone on.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to compete. That's the one thing. That's a big win. That's a big momentum switch for you. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll be on the road again next week as the Tigers get an overtime win last night over at Brooks High School in Killeen, Alabama. We'll head to Alcorn Central and Lawrence County, Alabama next week. More with Sports Talk right after this timeout. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, and the WKWX app. Coach, Alcorn Central, and then we'll head back to Alabama a little bit further distance and go to Lawrence County, Alabama next week.
Got to see them play a few times in person. We played a Christmas tournament down there, so they'll be solid. A game that, you know, you play well, you can win. You don't, you'll get beat. Kind of like feels like we've been playing for a month. But they're a solid team. Got some young guys that can play. And then, like you said, Lawrence County, Alabama, Friday. We played them a few years back in a tournament, but haven't played them in a few years. So will be a different experience for us. But got a top-tier scout report from Coach Carpenter. So, that should be a good one as well. And then all of a sudden you're in district play. So
yeah, it won't be long. I mean, next thing you know, I mean, here we are. We got six district games on the schedule and then right into a tournament. So,
yeah, so you know, looking forward to district for sure. Hopefully we can play well and get two wins next week heading into district. And then, like we talk about, it's a new season. It's going to be a dogfight every night, a lot of rivalries, all these kids know each other. Atmospheres will be great, so we're looking forward to that. And it flies by.
Yep. It doesn't take long, does it?
It doesn't.
All right. Well, congratulations on your overtime win last night. We'll be back in action on Tuesday night, Alcorn Central, 6 p.m. tip-off time with the Lady Tigers, the men to follow. And then on Friday night, we'll be in Moulton, Alabama. And take on Lawrence County, Alabama. Tip-off time is at 6 p.m. We'll keep Ryan here just for a minute. NFL wild card weekend this weekend. Some really good games that I see on there. Miami made it in. They'll be at Buffalo, Seattle at San Francisco, Los Angeles at Jacksonville, the Giants at Minnesota, Baltimore at Cincinnati, in Dallas at Tampa Bay. Also coming up right here on 93.5 FM at 11, it's Tennessee and Kentucky from Knoxville. So some basketball action coming up on your sports Saturday. National championship game, Ryan, was a dud.
It was. We had a game that night, obviously, so I didn't get to
see. Yeah, who scheduled that one?
The man in Madden.
Okay, I don't know why I said that emphatically.
Right.
Who scheduled that game?
Right. Yeah. But anyway, so we played on that night, but I got to see what you want to see of the second half, but it honestly went about like I thought. I didn't think it'd be that bad, but like I said last Saturday, I just didn't think that TCU had another game in them, and anyway, Georgia's back-to-back national champs, and we'll see if they can go for the three-peat next year.
Hate it. Latrell had a Instagram post, I believe, in talking about his time at Tennessee. Really well written and thoughtful. And then his last statement, I'm preparing for the NFL.
Yeah, hopefully, like I said, I hope he gets a chance to play in the NFL. And I know if he does, he'll make the most of it. And, you know, you can just see from the responses and stuff on social media, and not from just from Hardin County people, from Tennessee fans all over the country, just talking about his character and play and like we talk about, that's what you remember first is his character, and that's how we all want to be as people, as athletes. And so he's had a heck of a career, and I hope he gets to continue that into the NFL.
Well, got this the other day. Baseball and softball schedules are out. We'll start on the 13th of March in Corinth, Mississippi. Ripley, Mississippi will be the opponent, then Corinth High School later on. And I was looking at the schedule, Ryan, and for some reason, nobody likes to play in Hardin County. We got 9 home games. Such a great facility out there, too. And just have 9 home games, but you got to play who you got to play and where they'll play us. And then softball will start on March the 4th with the Lexington play date. And then the season will open up on the 13th with Adamsville coming to town on the 14th with Collinwood, and then the 15th, Adamsville again. So, looking forward to that. Both teams have been pretty successful over the last couple of years. And then, of course, the Lady Tigers made a run last year in the state. And we'll try to get some of those games on the air for you as well. We'll have the baseball as well. And then in football news last night, all these kids, all you coaches know all these kids, and some of them play for you. But they had their banquet. And some team award stuff. The 2022 Most Improved Award went to Wes Blankenship. The Hustle Award, Jaquan Keel. The Golden Helmet Award, Braden Wilkes. Scout Team Player of the Year, Ellis Smith. Most Valuable Teammate, Braden Wilkes. And then the State and Area District Awards. All Region 6-4A Athlete of the Year. All West Tennessee wide receiver, West Tennessee All-Star Game, Braden Wilkes. Jaquan Keel, All Region 6-4A first team. Sam Tanner, All Region 6-4A first team. Tylen Irvin, All Region 6-4A first team. Cameron Heyman, All Region 6-4A first team. Caleb McGee, All Region 6-4A. Raymond Poirier was All-Region first team and also in the West Tennessee All-Star game. Terrell Estes, All-Region 6-4A. Offensive lineman Adam Harris, All-Region 6-4A, and Defensive Lineman of the Year. And Carter Smith was All-Region 6-4A, Offensive MVP, and All-West Tennessee quarterback. And speaking of Carter got his first offer from UNA, so congratulations to him.
He did, and you know, I get to coach him, have coached or know at least all those guys, and you're talking about some great kids. And then Carter getting that first offer from UNA, I know he's worked extremely hard. And then he's got some stuff in the works over the next few weeks that I won't speak on because I know that it's not about me, that's about him. But excited for him and the opportunities he'll have, and looking forward to finishing him with basketball this year and then having a great senior season in football.
And bowling news, both teams will be in the sub-state. They'll play Memphis East here on Monday at 12:30. So one more step, they'll be in the state tournament. And I don't know why they just don't let them just go on up there. And why play the district and the region and the sub-state? Just, you know, go up there and defend your 11 or 12, 13 right. titles.
Yeah, I think the girls have won eight in a row, I think, 8 or 9 in a row. And then there was a year they finished second, and then they had won it the year before. So you can't even keep count with how many they've won. It's insane. So they'll have as good a shot as anybody, obviously, to win it again. So looking forward to hoping both teams can bring back some rings and a gold ball.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what they have done. We've said it time and time again, And, you know, bowling's not an easy thing either. I mean, there's some skill level there that you have to have. And we just keep producing them. And the good thing is, too, a lot of these kids are getting scholarships. You know, they're going to play in college and, and getting a bowl on bowling teams. We've had a lot of individual players of the year. We've had some individual state champions, team state champions. I know I can't think of the older Chanel daughter.
Ashley.
Ashley. What, three individual state championships? So. And four team state championships. So seven rings right there. Yep. One girl.
Yeah, she had a heck of a collegiate career too. And then her sister is at Vanderbilt now bowling. So we've had some kids that have gone and bowled at the next level. And it's a dynasty, no question.
It is. And I'll tell you another one too that I didn't realize. And you probably do. You keep up with this stuff around the high school. Is our trap team. Yep, we've got two national back-to-back championships.
Listen, I can't do either. I can't bowl and I can't shoot trap. So
yeah.
The ones that can do it, all credit to them.
And, well, if you live around here, you're going to learn how to shoot a gun. So, you know, that's just the norm. But, I mean, two national championships back-to-back. Unfortunately, their national championship is during – the summer.
You kind of miss out on that, it being in the summer the way the schedule is. But we've had a great run of athletics at Hardin County High School, different sports, and try not to take it for granted, because you never know when you get opportunities like that again. And so it's been fun to be a part of and to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad we get to play a little small part in it as well, and get to know the kids and you know, get to call the games and watch them grow. That's a great thing about what we do here. You watch these kids as freshmen. You hear about them when they're in the seventh and eighth grade. Then you get to watch them, you know, from freshmen all the way up and see the growth that they have and the potential that is met. Most of the time, sometimes, you know, not everybody meets their potential or what people think that their potential is. But we've had a lot of good things happen here. We've had some runs here in our athletic programs. But not only that, you know, another thing, you know, like Spencer Gerald's and with the Tiger Radio, and Ron Shank when he had it, and they got a few national champions under their belt as well, and winning state titles and everything else. So there's a lot of great things going on. There's more than football, basketball, and baseball sometimes, and we try to get it all on when we get the news. But anyway, a great time, especially if you're a Tiger fan. But big win last night, Coach, and hopefully we can get a couple next week, and then we'll turn our attention to some real basketball as a district starts.
We do. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, hopefully we can play well in the two games next week leading into it. And then you got six games that will be intense and close and battles. So looking forward to it.
I want to mention one thing, too. I've got kind of a new sponsor, Alpha 10, ALPHATENN, bars.com. If you're into fitness and workouts, and protein, and you want to do it clean, organically, good for your body, go to alpha10bars.com and get yours today, pre-order today, or you can go to our website at wkwxfm.com. Go there. You can see the link there. And it's one of my kids, my oldest one, Brett, who played here at Hardin County too back in the day. So trying to get a business started there. So Alpha, ALPHATENN, bars.com. And try it out. I beat them. They're good. And feel a lot better after them. Feel clean. But anyway, Tennessee basketball coming up right here on 93.5 FM as the Vols and the Wildcats will tip it off at 11 a.m. from Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville, Tennessee. So stay tuned for that. Appreciate you tuning in. this morning to Sports Talk. We'll be in Alcorn, Mississippi on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. tip. We'll be right back here next Saturday at 9 a.m. for Sports Talk. For Lily over at the station, Coach Kurt, Coach Gower, and the Dean made his presence here, Michael Davis. Appreciate him dropping by. I'm Steve Cornell saying so long, Tiger fans. Go Tigers, go Vols. We'll see you next week.